And welcome back to Gracie Meets. Did you know that 95% of the Earth's ocean creatures have yet to be discovered? That's a lot. New sea species are being discovered every day, so I invited marine biologist Mr. Brandon Howard to tell us about it on the show today. Tell the listeners about yourself and your job as a marine biologist.
So my name is Brandon Howard. I'm from the South Central Mississippi area, and I grew up here. And I work for the National Marine Fisheries Service as a fishery biologist. And so my career started out in about 2001 when I graduated college. And then I got a job up in the Northeast doing freshwater wetlands work for a private company. And after 9/11 happened, the project went under. So I started applying for jobs around the country, and just through good fortune, I ended up getting a job with the state of Florida for the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, doing coastal work down there and doing permitting and work with coral reefs and things of that nature. And then that job, I always wanted to work in federal service. So I got a job with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2004. And I worked for them as a freshwater wetlands biologist with a lot of interactions with the marine environment. So I had some work offshore down in West Palm Beach, Florida. That's where I was located for my career down there with those aforementioned agencies. So after a couple of years with Army Corps of Engineers, I had the opportunity to work with NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the National Marine Fisheries Service. So I had the opportunity and I took that. So that's where I've been for the last 15 years. I had 10 years down in West Palm Beach, Florida, and then moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 2016. So I've been working out of our office there in Baton Rouge, co-located with Louisiana State University for the past 3 years. So just a little bit about the job. It's we're responsible for the management of federally managed fishery species, so things like redfish, red snapper, grouper, things like that. We manage those species for harvest. So when commercial fishermen go out, the agency monitors those species, and we provide the limits of catch, and we do that every year. Just as a little bit of background too, so about NOAA. So NOAA is under the Department of Commerce. So when you think about the federal government, you have the different departments. So underneath NOAA, there are about seven agencies underneath NOAA, and one of those is the National Marine Fisheries Service. So NOAA employs about 11,000 people. The Fisheries Service employs about 4,200 people, and then the Fisheries Service is broken down into regions. So our region that I live in the Southeast, it's called the Southeast Regional Office. It's located in St. Petersburg, Florida, and we employ about 200 to 300 people. And then the actual division I work in is the Habitat Conservation Division, and we employ about 30 people around the Southeast. And our area of jurisdiction starts at the Virginia-North Carolina border and goes all the way around to the Mexico border throughout the Gulf. So we have offices, so if anyone's interested in positions, we have offices in Galveston, Texas, have office in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one at Stennis Space Center in Mississippi, that are regional offices in St. Petersburg, Florida, and moving around the coast, we have someone in Key West. And we also, I didn't mention, we are responsible for fisheries management in the Caribbean, so the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John, as well as Puerto Rico. We have folks on all those islands. And moving up the east coast of Florida, we have an office in West Palm Beach, one in Miami, then one in Charleston, South Carolina, and then in Beaufort, North Carolina. So that's our presence around. And again, we're responsible for, my group specifically is responsible for managing habitat when it comes to the fish that we like to eat and we like to catch and spend time recreating around. We manage the habitat in a broad sense to try and make those opportunities available to everybody. So that's kind of in a nutshell, you know, what the job is, and I'm sure we'll get into more specifics a little bit later.
So what do you think makes your job more unique than like a lawyer or a doctor or veterinarian?
So for me, I think it comes down to personal interests, you know, and whatever your personal interests are. You know, I've always been interested in marine science and about the natural world and wildlife in particular. And, you know, I've always had a calling, I guess you'd say, to try and conserve those species for future generations, and had something deep inside me, I guess you would say, to want to be involved in that sort of thing. So one thing about, I think, my job that makes it unique is some of the most brilliant scientists in the world, I feel like, work for my agency, and I get to interact with them all the time, and I get to see the latest research that comes out on the things that I'm interested in. And, you know, another cool thing about working for the federal government that you don't have the opportunity in a lot of other fields of work is we have offices all over the country and all over the world. So if you got into a federal job and you wanted to move somewhere else to study something new or experience something different, there's opportunities to do that. So I think that's the uniqueness of the job that I really like.
So what kind of schooling or like training did you need to pursue this kind of line of work?
So at a minimum, you need a 4-year degree. So, you know, around here, you know, I went to the University of Southern Mississippi and had a Bachelor of Science degree. And, you know, even backing up before then, I think if you have opportunities in high school to pursue advanced classes, or if you have chances to take biology classes or any sort of internships or anything you can get involved in this subject matter, will prepare you and make you more competitive for jobs once you get out of school. So, you know, a Bachelor of Science is certainly the minimum. But these days we hire folks all the time, and I'll tell you that almost everyone has a master's degree that's coming in the door these days and applying for jobs. So, you know, I'd say about 6 years of post high school education. And if you're in the South, you know, we'll plug for my alma mater. If you're in the Southeast and looking around at colleges, I'll tell you that University of Southern Mississippi has a very good program for biologists, you know, and they have a research lab down in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, where you can go down for the summer and take really cool classes, and you go out on research cruises and catch fish and identify what you catch, do trawls, all sorts of things like that. So, I mean, I can't say enough good things. And if you're interested in other colleges around the Southeast, University of Miami has a great program. Texas A&M has a great program. University of South Alabama, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, if you want to move up that way, go to college. So you definitely need the background. And I'll also say, once you get into college, if you have the opportunity to do internships with NOAA Fisheries, or if you're interested in other federal jobs, such as Environmental Protection Agency, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, U.S. Forest Service, all those wildlife-based land management agencies, look around and try to get you an internship. Reach out to the folks around your area where you want to be and where you're going to school, and do a 6-month internship, because those go a really long ways when you're competing for jobs.
Interesting. What does an average work day for you look like?
Oh man, that's changed so much over the years, and I think that's one of the things that keeps it interesting. And so early in my career, when I worked up in the Northeast, I did a lot of outside work as far as assessing wetlands. So freshwater wetlands was the basis of my work, even though my education was in marine biology. Is, you know, we went out in the field, determined where wetlands start and end. There's a certain set of federal rules that are in the Clean Water Act that tell you, you know, what a wetland is and what it isn't. And that has a lot of implications for people who are doing developments or anything else. So spent a lot of time outside. I literally walked from Washington, D.C. to New York along a right of way, looking at wetlands over a year and a half period. So early in my career, there's a lot of field work. When I moved down to South Florida, I did a lot of scuba diving in the Caribbean and in West Palm Beach area, looking at coral reefs. So we did a lot of assessments of the health of coral reefs and identifying the fish and animals that live there. And we looked at those reefs and determined if there was an impact to the reef, what we could do to those corals back on the reef and reattach, see if there was a ship grounding or an injury. So early on, lots of field work. We did some small time research stuff on seagrasses, one of the most productive environments in the marine system, where lots of fish and things the early life stages use. So did some research there. And so as you progress in your career, and this is kind of a not really a joke, but something someone always says, as you progress in your career as a scientist and as a biologist, you tend to spend a lot more time at your desk doing policy type things. So these days I work a lot on restoration projects. So what we do is in South Louisiana's coastline is disappearing at an alarming rate from sea level rise. The ground's actually sinking, so there's some subsidence is what that's called. A lot of oil and gas cut canals and things down there, and that makes things worse. So a lot of my work these days is scouting out areas to do restoration. So there's a lot of pots of money that come into the federal government, some of them recently from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. So that money comes in, and my agency, along with some others, but us principally in the marine environment, we look for places to do restoration projects, and we create marsh. So we'll create 40 to $50 million projects, translating into a thousand acres of marsh restoration along the coast, and we'll pump mud in from offshore. So I spend a lot of time in and around that conversation. We partner with the state of Louisiana in that situation. So I meet with elected officials, project engineers, looking at complex plans to do those things, going out in the field and collecting data to inform what kind of restoration we can do at a site. So these days I do a lot of that. I also oftentimes am involved in endangered species. So the NOAA Fisheries and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service split responsibility for the Endangered Species Act of 1972. So we're responsible for all the marine species, sea turtles, all the salmon. I know that's not specific to the Southeast, but if you get up north from here on the East Coast and on the West Coast, it's a really big deal. So all those endangered listed species, we're responsible for making sure that those things are still around in the future. So there's a lot of my work that, not as much anymore, but used to really be involved in that type of thing.
Well, this has been a very interesting interview. Thank you so much for giving me a chance to interview you.
Sure, anytime.
Mr. Brandon gave some great facts and information on the world of marine biology. 95% of the ocean's inhabitants are not yet discovered. No normal person could discover a new species. But then again, show me a normal teenager. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you like Gracie Meets, subscribe so you can listen every time a new episode is dropped. And follow Gracie Meets on Instagram at gracie.meets. I bet you're dying to hear next week's episode with a funeral arranger.